Hello, fellow educators and all listeners out there. Welcome to the hashtag UWin Tool Parade podcast, the teacher-to-teacher open overview of what EdTech can do for you. Brought to you by the University of Windsor's Faculty of Education. I'm Jordan Oliver.
And I'm Riley Prescott. Our focus today will be all about Slack, an online engine claiming to be the collaboration software tool that moves work forward.
Tell us more about Slack. What else can be added past the corporate e-summary?
Well, according to the description presented by Slack itself, Slack is a tool built for teamwork. This teamwork happens in so-called channels, which Slack's website describes as a single place for messaging tools and files, helping everyone save time and collaborate together. It's styling itself as a one-and-all hub for group work.
Today we'll be digging deep to find out if it is really a one-and-all hub, and explore everything we need to know about this online tool, and then determine if it should or should not be used. Let's get started.
So Slack presents itself as a software program dealing best with project management, information sharing, and communications between individuals and groups. All of this is done in a cloud-based system.
Slack organizes these communications into chat rooms, which are divided and further into specific topics, all which can be managed and manipulated by the creators of those chat rooms.
Whenever someone posts in these chat rooms, it's made public, and everyone a part of that group can see what's been said.
But users do have the ability to private message people within these groups, and not every interaction has to be a broadcast to everyone else out there.
Slack really pushes this simple, streamlined model of theirs, where its ease of use allows for anyone to quickly catch on to its features and functions. The fact that the chats and topics are divided and well-organized into specified groups means that conversational flow is not broken up.
This feature may be Slack's greatest service, as it allows you to form your own groups and chat rooms for you to communicate whatever information you want to a specialized collection of people. This could easily be replicated in the classroom, where Slack groups could simply parallel school subjects or classes, keeping all conversations or studying confined to respective groups.
And then within those groups, creators of those groups could pose questions to all those a part of the online channel for individuals to respond to. People can even post their own questions, separate from those questions posted by the group creators, and essentially form actual dialogue between multiple individuals. When looking at how this could be used in education, this kind of online system might build a strong base for a digital classroom community.
Continuing with the classroom setting idea, the fact that independent groups can be made means that students working on digital projects have an easy-to-use online forum to work with their colleagues.
Better yet, teachers can add themselves into these groups and work closely with their students.
Slack reiterates again and again the idea of streamlined collaboration, and students can support each other as their courses progress. These digital groups and threads could grow into hubs for students to share class notes and ensure that no one's left behind lesson-wise.
Students can use each other as springboards for class knowledge, learning from one another and bringing everyone up to speed. Slack could also be used by students to collectively take notes, crowdsourcing lecture or lesson information by using classroom-specific groups to keep everything gathered in one central location. This digital collaboration could be done during the actual class or could occur afterwards on the student's own time.
Due to the way that groups can be managed, a teacher could even use their individual group as a complete body to set official questions that all students could see, bringing curriculum connections online and allowing for projects to be continued in a digital sphere. This feature could be extended to the concept of an exit ticket or tell me what you learned today, where students could respond at their own leisure to daily assigned questions. Polls can also be set up inside these groups, and so teachers could be getting anonymous input from everyone in the class no matter the topic at hand.
Slack, at its core, serves as a platform for digital discussion, bringing people and students together in an easy-to-use environment. More than that, Slack offers compatibility with Google Apps and other services, meaning that students who work with Google Suite apps like Drive can easily share or transfer their projects or documents to the Slack chat rooms.
Slack is also free to use, and it is free indefinitely after signing up. However, signing up for the free version of the service means many of the key features are limited or outright restricted.
So when using the free version, messages inside groups are limited to 10,000 individual messages tops, and there are only 10 app integrations like Google Drive permitted. Users can also only voice and video chat at a 1-to-1 ratio.
Things open up when you consider Slack's standard membership, which is priced at $6.67 US per month. The standard membership also allows for unlimited messaging, unlimited app integration, and video and voice chatting for up to 15 users.
While Slack also offers a pricier Plus membership and an Enterprise Gold membership, each with their own increased or added benefits, these levels are much more concerned with businesses and education. So in our opinion, these levels should not be taken too much into consideration when determining Slack's place in EdTech.
While Slack definitely has its strengths as a collaborative workplace, it is, like all other tools, not a one-size-fits-all. There are areas it works in and others in which it doesn't, we obviously can't just ignore Slack's shortcomings.
It must first be stated that Slack has age limitations that will directly affect the classrooms you might want to use this in.
Anyone younger than 16 years of age cannot use this service, full stop. So it's a collaboration tool that can only be used in senior classes.
A major concern that comes with Slack directly affects those in the United States who might use the service. There is no FERPA compliance with Slack, FERPA being the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, an American federal law regulating the use of and access to student information. They do state that they follow American and EU privacy and security laws, but nothing was outwardly stated on where it stands on Canadian regulations.
Slack already has those privacy and user limitations common to any kind of digital service. But Slack itself was designed primarily for interactions between businesses, so student and education aspects are nowhere near the main focus of Slack's purposes.
Sensitive student data, which may include anything from grades to personal information, would be hypothetically vulnerable. For those familiar with Blackboard, which is an education-oriented online service that functions in many ways as a digital classroom, Slack differs from it entirely, as Blackboard is compliant with FERPA guidelines.
Slack also lacks some of the educational services that might be seen in digital platforms like Blackboard, with features like gradebooks non-existent in Slack.
Another concern to take into account is the fact that conversations must always be appropriate and continuously tied to the class subjects when students are using Slack, which can be hard to observe or enforce at all times. However, we're now going to shift gears a bit and look more at the differentiated learning offered by Slack.
When it comes to differentiated learning, Slack first and foremost allows students to partake in group projects and larger class discussions without requiring them to be physically present. Right away is any threat of social anxiety taken away. Those with speech or hearing difficulties would likely also benefit from the online environment, as they could work closely with digitized data, information, and text, rather than worry about missing it during an in-person class.
So overall, Slack exists to provide its easy-to-access system, which can be ideal for sharing files and information on top of talking with other colleagues.
We would definitely argue that such a system would also be ideal for those who have organizational difficulties such as ADHD, as all the materials, conversation logs, and information is kept online inside of all associated groups.
Returning to the idea of a teacher hosting a poll that reaches everybody in the classroom anonymously, responders also have the ability to respond using emojis. And so Slack hosts several different ways to express feelings and ideas.
Other polling apps and services can be attached to Slack too, like Simple Poll or Polly, if those platforms are preferred over what Slack comes integrated with.
Screen sharing capabilities are also offered by Slack, which factors in greatly to what an educator has to work with when dealing with students. This is just one more method that can be used to help solve student problems, all with the comfortability of digital usage.
This screen sharing also uses screen drawing abilities, giving users the power to draw lines, shapes, or sketches, on top of highlighting capability, allowing students to mark key terms and passages, all right inside their respective Slack groups.
Slack itself is also available as an app, so for the large majority of students who are going to have access to small devices, or for those students who may be limited only to those small devices, usage and access to Slack should be near universal.
Looking back at communication, those private chat channels between an instructor and a student can ensure student privacy and confidentiality, and no one should feel afraid to ask a stupid question.
That kind of open environment is absolutely essential when trying to incorporate everyone. With regards to additional modalities, video calling and voice chatting abilities are also provided by Slack. So for those students looking for more than just text sharing, their own personal preferred methods are available.
Some other issues present themselves when we look at Slack's users' terms of service. While much of the actual jargon is typical to any terms of service contract, there are a few caveats.
For the most part, Slack takes the approach where it leaves the disputes between its users and customers out of its own hands, and lets the smaller groups work out their problems or setups on their own. There is little enforced authority at these lower levels.
Somewhat more worrying is the fact that Slack outlines the harsh reality that is, it may transfer the user's terms to another company that it may merge with or sell itself to, so Slack user may find their services controlled or managed by a third party unexpectedly.
So when we take all of this into account, is Slack a service we would want to be using, and should we encourage its use for ed tech?
I think it's safe to say that Slack is safe enough. Being aware of Slack's shortcomings and knowing what it is and what it is not strong with leads to me to say that Slack is a helpful service to make use of.
I would have to agree. Its style should be seen by most as being easy to use, and the group division system on its own should be enough to at least warrant interest.
So Riley, what would we rate this in apples?
Starting with differentiated learning, I think we should give it one whole apple. There's lots of different abilities and choice with Slack, and you can use lots of their features in multiple ways. When it comes to data collection and cost, though, we should only give it half of an apple. When it comes to its shaky terms of service, and when considering its cost, again, it's a freemium service offering bare-bone functionality, so unless you want to pay for the full monthly fee for everything, it's not the best thing. And when it comes to how it can help teachers, we have to realize it's business-oriented first, so I would only give it 3/4 of an apple. There's lots it could improve on.
And altogether, that would make 2 1/4 apples. We hope to examine Slack more and put it to use ourselves in the near future.
Be sure to visit or subscribe to the OpenPage site and look out for other EdTech podcasts coinciding with the release of our own. And if you don't believe us about Slack, why not check it out for yourself? This has been Riley Prescott
and Ryan Oliver. Thanks for tuning in.